My name's Peter. I work for File Magazine. Some of you guys have probably seen the show before when my brother Davey has done it. And you might be wondering where he is. But unlike usual, where he's just drinking in the back of the van, he's not here today. But honestly, between the Rothbart brothers, you got the better looking, more talented, smarter, funnier. This is, at least according to my mom, this is what you're getting. So my name is Peter Rothbart. I work for Found Magazine. And if some of you guys aren't sure what Found Magazine is, it's a collection of notes and letters, pictures, really just like anything that people find on the ground. You know, you're walking down the street, you see this funny piece of paper blowing around, you pick it up and look at it, and it turns out to be someone's like shopping list or you know, like a love letter or something like that. So tonight what I'm going to do, this afternoon, I guess, it's not night yet, so I'm going to share with you some of our favorite found items that we've gotten in over the last couple years. And I'll play you a couple songs that are written based on some of the found items. And hopefully if we have time, I'll be able to get maybe one or two of you up here who might have brought a found item to come up and share it. But let me start just by reading a couple that give you a sense of what found is all about. Like this one, which is a note to Jesse. And it says, "Jesse, I did not take anything. I know there's no convincing you once you've made up your mind. And although I cannot offer you any other explanation as to what happened to it, that doesn't mean I did it. How could I have? You say your car was locked and Katie had the keys. Anyway, I don't need to take something of yours when I can get my own. It doesn't make sense. But here's a replacement, because I can't stand it when you think I've wronged you. Signed, Mom." And you know she did it too, you know? Like, I don't know, I don't even know what she took, but she took it. All right, this is a series of three faxes that came into this woman's office in San Francisco. She came into her office and just found these three faxes that had come in during the middle of the night. So the first one says, "I just want Gigi back. Tell me where she is and I'll come get her. Why are you doing this? Be a man." And these are really in the middle of the night. That one came in at 2:36 a.m. The second one at 2:43 a.m. says, "This is cruel and emotional abuse. No wonder you drive the women you're with crazy. They either join cults or want to kill themselves. Be a man for once in your life. The world doesn't revolve around you. Just let me have Gigi now. I can't believe you're even doing this. I will come get her. If not, I'm calling the police." And then the third fax, which came in at 2:56 a.m., just says, "Sorry, wrong number." And there's like a little, it's not quite smiling face, it's not quite a sad face, it's just sort of like an oops face. This one, also found in San Francisco, it's like a found contract. It says, "I, Becca McNeil, state herein that upon my death, Drew Copel has all legal rights to my skull." So I'm not sure how it is in Washington, but in Michigan, where Found Magazine is based, you know, if you get laid off, you know, you're between jobs, you can appeal to the state for unemployment benefits. And this guy, it looks like this was an item that was found in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It looks like a guy who's appealing to the state or has appealed to the state to get unemployment benefits. And here we have the state's response to him, which says, "Your employer has not indicated that shortages was your reason for discharge. Stated you played with matches and set fire to paper in a trash can. Set fire to reports. Wrote obscene graffiti on the paperwork, calendars, and posted signs. You engaged in horseplay, pouring ammonia on dry ice in the back room, which caused the dry ice to explode. You twirled a broom and hit a customer in the head." So you have to be legitimately, you know, like, you have to lose your job legitimately, and I don't think that guy's getting unemployment benefits. All right, this one came from New Orleans. It's a flyer that was found taped to a telephone pole. It says, "Babysitter wanted for three children ages 8, 6, and 4 for after school, weekends, and evenings. 10 to 15 hours a week, must be able to drive. I prefer a non-smoker. The kids are cute, the food is good, and the mom is easy." Call Sonny, and then it has the phone number. Hey, come on in, you guys. I saved you guys some seats right there. Right there, just for you. I didn't even want it. This one is found in New York City. It's like a teacher course evaluation. You know, when you get through a course, sometimes the teacher has you fill out an evaluation just to give them feedback about how they've done. Well, this one was for a class at NYU. And one of the comments is really remarkable. It says, "I cannot remember anything about the content of a specific class any more than I could recall the most boring moments of my life. The educational value was so phenomenally low that my frustration grew into hatred for her, and then it became more widespread, affecting my family and friends and possibly people I have never met, until I finally reached the point where I hated myself for being there." A rave review for that class. Hey, guys, come on in. Come on in. There's plenty of seats left. Just, seek them out. Here's a list of goals that was found in Lincoln, Nebraska. The first one says, go to church, find God, then find myself through him, get baptized. The second goal is party a lot, meet new people, and start drinking. Find God, start drinking. It's true, it's true. We should take that more seriously. I agree. This was a flyer found, or an angry note, I suppose. It says, if you took my detergent, I'm sure it was a mistake, so I'm not mad yet. But you're pushing me, and I push back, so it better be back effing soon. And now I try and weasel out of any responsibility for just about anything, but this may be taking it a little bit too far. It's a very short note. It just says, the condom made a mistake and broke. Now, any of you who have kids or work around kids or just interact with kids know that they live in a very magical world. And if you live near a schoolyard or if you're a teacher or anything like that, you'll know that kids tend to like leave a lot of stuff around. And there's a lot of great found items that are, you know, things that were written by kids, like this one, which just says, "Dear lunch lady, we are sorry for our behavior. We acted like animals. We won't do it again." This one here is the first ever. Hey, please come in. Come on in, guys. This one here is the first ever found ransom note. It says, AJ, we have your binder. You will never see it again unless you leave a sum of $3.50 directly under the clock to the left of the door at precisely 1:15. Please do not inform any teacher of this transaction. If you mess this up, you will regret it. Here's another one written in a kid's handwriting. It says, things to do. Get a new skateboard deck. Think of band names. Get lawn mowing service going. Hook up with Jan, and make it to sixth grade. It's an ambitious youth. Here's another one that was found in Columbus, Ohio. It says, when I heard my grandma died, I sat down and cried. I never wanted her to, but she did. She also got hit in the head with a lid. That was kind of funny. It even tickled my tummy. I still feel bad. My brother was so sad. But it's okay. We got other grandmas anyway. Here's one that was found in Philadelphia. It's a kid writing to his uncle. It says, dear Tony, you are the best uncle I ever had. By the way, my birthday's coming up, and I would like $5 from you and Aunt Robin. He knows how to play the game, you know? I bet he got that $5. Hey, come on in, guys, wherever you can find a seat. And this one is really the, shows that kids are a little smarter than we might think. It says, to cashier, written in kids' handwriting, will you please sell my son one pack of Newport Lights? And then it's, you know, signed in totally illegibly. At Found Magazine, we get a ton of letters and notes that pertain to love and relationships. You know, I guess that's something that's on everyone's mind. So here's one that was found in Tucson. It says, don't rush things. Be her friend first. take her out for lunch. Ask her, would you like to go out for lunch? My treat, please. Come on, please. You know, it's like a guy counseling his friend on, you know, how to find his way out on a date. And I like that he's just sort of assuming that his friend's going to get rejected. All right, here's one that was found in St. Charles, Missouri. It looks like a girl who's, you know, maybe dating two guys or trying to decide between two guys. So what she does is she writes out the good things and the bad things about each of these guys, Andrew and Paul. So start with the bad things. Andrew, crazy. Paul, crazier. Andrew has issues. Paul is too loud. Andrew is torn between Stacy and I. Paul is too childish. And then the good things. Andrew, I married him. Paul has a child. Andrew has always been a good friend. Paul has a house. Andrew, sex. Paul, money. Now, I've been dumped by my fair share of girls in my life. You know, and there's all kinds of ways to let someone off the hook. This one, I've never gotten one quite like this. It says, Dear Delane, you and I are just friends. That's the way I wish to remain. I like you, but only as a friend. I'd be happy if this doesn't affect our bond. As friends. It's not because you're not handsome enough. It's just because you and I are friends, and that's it. The reason you can't be my boyfriend is because I'm not as attracted to you as you are to me. To be honest, I just want us to be friends. That's all. It's your choice whether you want to be my friend or not. Let's just be friends. I wonder if Delane got the like subtle hint that she was trying to drop there. And this is a cute one that was found in Boston. It's, I guess, this girl was walking to the subway, and she saw this series of flyers posted along three telephone poles. The first one says, hey, please come on in if you want to find a seat. The first one says, I'm sorry about last Friday. I thought it was you, I swear. The second one says, I'm really sorry about Saturday. And then the third one says, reasons not to love me. I'm an asshole. I slept with your best friend. I never pay. Opening doors is for wussies. I'm clingy. I hate children. P.S. I want to build a life together. It's very cute. Who could say no to that? And then this one came to us from North Carolina. It's a letter addressed to Ron. It says, Dear Ron, the longer I think about what I'm doing, the sicker I feel. Ron, I'm sorry, but I don't think that we should continue to have a relationship together, at least not as a couple. I love you, but things have not been the same since we found out that we were related. You gotta hate when that happens. If you no longer want to speak to me because of this, I'll understand. I'll still come visit you on Sundays if you like. I just don't know what to say to you. Love always, Alicia. And, you know, we always sit around at the Found Magazine office opening up all the new mail that comes in. And one of our friends, Adrian, opened that one up, and she just burst into laughter immediately, you know, and passed it around to each one of us. And everyone who read it in turn just burst into laughter. But we were thinking about it later, like, how bad would that suck, you know? You finally meet, you know, the person you know you're destined to be with, and it's your cousin or your sister or something like that. All right, this one came from Los Feliz, California. It says, Dear blue-haired gentleman, I decided to voice my support for you in the current dryer wars. Everyone knows that only one dryer works and that you should not have to wait for someone to remove their items in order to dry your own. This is not why I'm writing you, though. The marvelous editing you provided the first writer was excellent. My question comes down to this. If I leave letters and other items here, can they be proofread and corrected as well? Right, this looks like a letter. It's a letter to some, like a film studio. It's someone trying to make a pitch for an apparent blockbuster found in Los Angeles. It says, what if, in big letters, what if? What if it's odorless, tasteless, and colorless? What if it's a clear liquid and it's not water? What if every time you wash your face or hands, drink a glass of water, take a shower or bath, go for a swim, or what if whenever you get near water, anytime, anywhere, there could be an invisible Jaws, Jurassic Park, Terminator, Twister, or Independence Day waiting for you? What if it's Body Hunters, the invisible liquid terror that will forever change the world? How the world will think about water anytime, anywhere. Body Hunters is a potential 32-picture event film franchise that could sell 200 million-plus videos and become a potential entertainment crown jewel that will create a $32 billion-plus global Body Hunters brand name. Body Hunters will bring to the market hundreds of fresh new characters that will be worth $5 billion-plus in new licensing revenues. Body Hunters will create $5-plus billion-dollar-plus worldwide blockbusters. The bottom line is Body Hunters is a dream come true. It's a good pitch. I mean, now our friend Dan lives in Phoenix. He's been involved with Found, you know, since the very beginning. And he's always on the lookout for good Found stuff. And one time he and his girlfriend were out to dinner, and they saw this sign up on the the door into the kitchen. And it said, "Caution, door will swing open and nail you." And so he thought that was hilarious, you know. It's like a crowded restaurant. There's people coming in and out of the door all the time. He's like, "I don't know, someone might see us, grab it. Maybe I shouldn't take it." But in the end, he just decided, all right, I got to get this note and send it in to Found. So he sort of sneaks up, and he's like looking around. He's about to take it down, and then wham! The door swings open and just nails him right in the face. So he warns everyone to be very careful when you're looking out for Found stuff. All right. This one was found in New York. It's a letter to Continental Airlines, and it looks as if it was written by someone while they were on a Continental Airlines flight. It says, "Dear Continental Airlines, I'm disgusted as I write this note to you about the miserable experience I'm having sitting in seat 29E on one of your aircrafts. As you may know, this seat is situated directly across from the lavatory, so close that I can reach out my left arm and touch the door. All my senses are being tortured simultaneously. It's difficult to say what the worst part about sitting in seat 29E really is. Is it the stench of the sanitation fluid that's blown all over my body every 60 seconds when the door opens? Is it the whoosh of the constant flushing? Or is it the passengers' asses that seem to fit into my personal space like some kind of pornographic jigsaw puzzle? I constructed a stink shield by shoving one end of a blanket into the overhead compartment. While effective in blocking at least some of the smell and offering a small bit of privacy, the ass on my body factor has increased, as without my evil glare, passengers feel free to lean up against what they think is some kind of blanketed wall. The next ass that touches my shoulder will be the last. I am picturing a boardroom full of executives giving props to the young, talented engineer that figured out how to squeeze an additional row of seats onto this plane by putting them next to the lavatory. I would like to flush his head in the toilet that I am close enough to touch from my seat. Putting a seat here was a very bad idea. I just heard a man groan in there. This sucks. Worse yet, I paid over $400 for the honor of sitting in this seat. Does your company give refunds? I'd like to go back where I came from and start over. Seat 29E could only be made worse if it were actually located inside the bathroom. We are finally descending, and soon I will be able to tear down the stink shield, but the scars will remain. I suggest that you initiate immediate removal of this seat from all of your aircraft. It might be good for luggage, but not human cargo. Signed, Passenger 29E. And this is one that I found. It's perhaps my favorite that I found. This is a flyer that I found in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where we are, where Found is. Yeah, go blue. And it, you know, clearly someone put a lot of time into making this flyer. It looks pretty nice. It just says, "After leaving the building, please lock this door. It will prevent unauthorized people from entering the building and defecating in the washing machine. Many thanks. And, you know, we always encourage people who send in fines to write some line of explanation or, you know, like a story behind where they found it. So I always think, when I see this one, I always think, like, you know, those who are those who are authorized to defecate in the washing machine would probably have been given a key. That's why it's essential to lock the door. All right. So as promised, I've written a couple songs based on found items. This is probably going to pop, so beware. Oh, look at that. Someone back there knows what's going on. So this first song I'm going to play for you is based on a note that's out of the new issue of Found number 5, which came out last year. We have issue 6 coming out probably later this summer. What's that? Yay. Oh, yeah. And this note was found in Oregon City, Oregon. And it's a guy writing to a girl that he met in a coffee shop and whom he's been in love with ever since for the past 8 years or 10 years, a long time. And he's never quite worked up the courage to tell her how he feels about her. He's been through some pretty difficult times. He's battled drug abuse, you know, kind of done a lot of soul searching. He gets married and has a kid. Not that I'm equating marriage and children to drug abuse, but, you know, his life has meandered down a lot of different paths. But he's recently had this awakening where he's realized, like, his life's ambition, which is to build and race the fastest Nissans in the Northwest. And having this realization has helped him, like, finally work up the courage to tell this woman how he's felt about her all this time. He's no longer with his former wife, so it's legit. So, you know, he writes down how he's felt about her all this time in this letter, and he's not sure how she's going to take it. Like, is she going to be put off by it? Maybe she won't want to talk to him anymore, you know? Like, he's a little nervous about it, but he just decides, whatever, I'm going to go ahead. So he leaves the note for her. And then, of course, it turns up unopened on our doorstep. You know, someone found it, and apparently she never got it, which is heartbreaking. But I thought it was a really beautiful letter, so I wrote this song based on it. It's called The Baddest Nissans in the Northwest.
Side, getting coffee on a cold and rainy October night. I can't say who ordered or how late we stayed, but your hair was pulled back in a beautiful French braid. Such an open mind and so easy to befriend through all the bullshit that I wear to fend off almost everybody else that I wanted to show you my heart despite myself. My pursuit of the perfect time and words would keep me awake, but the feeling you were more than I deserved was one that I couldn't shake. I had a very bad disease. It hit me like a mobster with a bat to the knees, and I'd come to you a cracked out sleepless king, wanting only to think of this one beautiful thing. You can only go so long, watching your attempts to get the things you want go all wrong. So I started hanging with a different crowd and reminding myself not to think my feelings out loud. 8 years later, I am so much more complete, but when I see you on the street are the times that I feel most alive. I know I've been redeemed to build the baddest Nissans the Northwest has ever seen, and raise my son to be a proud and caring man, in the hope he might have your healing hands. Oh, we both have our own paths to follow. I love you too much to swallow. If you don't see me the same anymore, just know when you need me, I'll be there forever yours.
Thank you. Now, the other song I want to play for you. Hey, guys, there's still seats left, so. Or sit on the floor, or, you know, whatever. Sing back up. The other song I want to play for you guys is based on, in my opinion, the greatest found item of all time, which is this cassette tape that was found in Ypsilanti, Michigan. What happened was this kid named Nigel was walking home from the bus. He saw this tape laying on the ground. He stops to look at it. And when he picks it up, all it says on it, it just says, booty tape. So naturally, you know, like, what do you do when you find a tape that says booty tape on it? Nigel races home with it as fast as he can to pop it in his boombox and see what it's all about, you know? And on it, he finds 10 of the most dick-donkulous, bootylicious, homemade rap anthems that you can possibly imagine. There's songs like Wave Your Booty in the Air and Taste That Booty Flavor and The Booty Don't Stop. And my personal favorite, Damn Girl, Yo Shit Be Up in My Face. And the names of these songs are really easy to figure out because each one is basically just one phrase repeated over and over and over again. So, for example, that song, The Booty Don't Stop, he gets home, he puts the tape in his deck, and on comes this song, and this is what he hears. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. And loop that like 8 or 10 times, and you have the booty don't stop in its entirety. So what I did is I wrote a little cover of the booty don't stop. I added some verses to it and kind of did it up in my own like boy band style. So here it is, the booty don't stop. Come on, girl. Let's get it on. I tell you that you're special,
that you're the only one. And I say I love you though we haven't been together long. I take you to the movies and I show you all my moves. And you know when I play basketball, I bust that J for you. I buy you flowers and candy and I call you every night. When I drop you off at home, I stay till you turn on the light. I do it for one reason, I won't feed you any line. When I first saw that ass, I knew I had to make it mine. Cause damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, yeah? Your mama won't let me in your room no matter how I plead. And Papa says when to have you home if I wanna keep my knees. Shorty, tell your family, stop frontin' on my game. Cause if I don't get to touch that ass, I'll never be the same. Well, other girls may have it, and even mom may try. But baby, I don't love them hoes, and let me tell you why. Cause I wanna warm that ass up and tap it like a phone. And call it on those nights I'm cold and feeling so alone, singing. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, yeah? Girl, first time I saw that ass, I wanted to eat it like a vegetable. Cause I gotta say, baby, you got the finest ass in all the Folklife Festival. Ooh yeah, baby. Oh, oh, ooh yeah. David and Goliath, Moses and the sea, Noah and his punk ass ark don't mean a thing to me. But mighty is the crescent and holy is the whole. So baby, let's get biblical and I'll show you the score. Other boys may covet and others may be meek, but other boys don't get to watch you turn the other cheek. Cause you are mine forever and you will be mine tonight. And we'll be getting freaky while I treat that booty right, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you...
All right, come on, you guys. Let me hear. Come on.
Stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Yeah.
Beautiful, you guys. Thank you. Thank you. All right, just a few more minutes, so let me show you guys some more of our favorite finds. We get a lot of funny flyers, such as this one, which says, it was found in Vancouver. It says, ever cut your skin for fun? Sell your ass? Sleep on the street? Do you like pain? Take heroin? If so, let's start a band. This is two separate flyers that were found in New York. And looks like they were made by the same guy. So, you know, first this guy, Harry, in New York, he found this flyer. It says, high-end plastering, taping, and skim coating. Over 25 years of experience. Call Jonathan. And it has his number. And then he found the second flyer in, like, the exact same type, you know, the same font and everything, same paper. And it says, full body sensual massage for woman by handsome masculine man. Call Jonathan. That's the same number. That's a versatile motherfucker right there. Right, this is another one found in New York. And this one just baffles me. It's, you know, like if you're trying to sublet your house or like sell your bike or something, you have a flyer with the little tabs that people could tear off. Well, that's what this one is, but it just says Steve. But like a bunch of the tabs have been torn off, you know? Like, oh, Steve, cool. This is a great little post-it note that someone found in San Jose. It just says, I took some hoes to get some burritos. All right, this one's a little different. This is a kid writing to his mom. This one's found in Illinois. It says, Dear Mom, I miss you. I really wish you were here. There's been a lot of bad stuff in my life, but I'm sure you already know that. But there's also been some really good things, like Justin. He's my best friend, and so is Bethany. Where was I? Hey, Mom, guess what is the best part of all? There's a girl. Her name is Jenna. We've been dating for about a month and a half now. I love her so much. I know if you were here, you would like her a lot. She makes me so happy. There's nobody I've ever been happier with. She's changed my life in so many ways. She's there for me, and she actually cares about me. I pray to God every day that I would get her. It's unbelievable. Remember when I was suicidal? Well, not anymore. I couldn't even think about it. I just love her so much for being with me, you know? This girl is wonderful, Mom. She helps me through a lot. I love her more than she can imagine. I've never felt this way about anyone. I would die for this girl, Mom. I love her so much, and she's scared that we're not going to see each other when I move, but I promise we'd see each other just like normal. Well, I get my license this summer, and I'll be out here every day. So, yeah, I got to go. I love you so much, Mom. I'll write you again. Bye. Your son, Colin. P.S. Trevor misses you, too. So, this letter, this woman was in a graveyard outside of Chicago, and a graveyard. And in the middle of the graveyard, there was this huge oak tree, and caught up in like the highest branches, she saw a balloon that had popped, and you know, with like a little ribbon dangling down. So she scaled up the tree, and attached to the ribbon was a note, and it was this note. So you can just imagine this kid going to the graveyard to visit his mom, and sending this note up to her in a balloon. And it, for me, it's notes like this one that just make me want to pick up like every piece of paper that I see blowing down the street, you know? And I hope you guys will do the same thing. If you find something, you know, funny or just something that, anything that strikes you in any way, we hope that you'll send it in to us at Found Magazine. You know, we've got a website, foundmagazine.com, has the address and everything. And if you pick up a copy of the magazine, which we got out there, has the address in there. So this one's like a kid writing to his dad. This was found in Ann Arbor. It just says, Dad, come get me at the coffee shop when you're done taking a crap. All right, I got like two or three more notes I'm going to read for you guys. This one also found outside of Chicago. It's a note addressed to Amos. It says, Amos, last night was terrible. I'm so mad at you. I thought we agreed about that thing you do, you know? It's not kinky. It's gross. You need to get over this phase of yours. If you don't, well, then you can just sleep alone. Sorry that I couldn't say this to your face, but I can't bear to look at you right now. I have to go. I have calculus next period. Don't call me. I don't want to talk to you or see you later. You better get over this. It's really damaging our sex life. Love, Mary, but love is all crossed out. You know, we're always looking for, like, a Found Magazine slogan. Like, there was this flyer we found once. It was a kid looking for other kids to be in his death metal band. And it said, there was like an upside down cross. And it said, wanted guitarist, bassist, drummer, and lead singer. Like, I don't know what that kid's going to do. But then over across the top, it said, help us bring the darkness. So we used to always say, Found Magazine, help us bring the darkness. But now we have a new slogan, Found Magazine, it's not kinky, it's gross. All right, so I got one more note I'm going to read for you guys in a minute. First, I just want to tell you about the merch table we've got out there. We've got we got magazines, Found Magazine issues 1 through 5, and we also have issues of Dirty Found, which is all the stuff that's like too racy for, some Dirty Found fans in the house. We got some copies of that out there. We've got some Found t-shirts. We've got some of my CDs, which are great. If I dare say so, the Booty Song's on one of my albums. Yes. So I got my first two albums are out there, and my mom thinks they're great too. We've got some Booty Don't Stop T-shirts. We got some found stickers, I think all the stickers out there are free. We have some found bumper stickers that are a dollar, but then there's smaller ones that actually have the website and the address on there, so you can grab some of those. And I don't know, there's some other stuff out there. I'll be out there immediately, you know, and like as fast as I can clean this stuff up for the next group to come in. So come out, say hi. If you have any found stuff, we didn't have time to bring people up here, but if you have any found stuff you'd like to share, someone gave me one earlier. I feel like I should share it. I don't know if she's still here, but it was funny. It just says, "Teddy, I hope you enjoy this book as much as I did when I skimmed through the dirty parts." So if you guys have any finds that you brought, please come share them with me over there. All right. So I got this one last find I'm going to read for you. It's this kid, Aaron Harmon. He's taking an algebra test in Chapter 7 of his Algebra 2 course. This was found in Portland, Maine. And it's clear that Aaron is having his struggles with Algebra 2. maybe beyond struggles, like he doesn't really have any idea what he's doing. But, you know, he sits down to the test, and rather than, he could have just wrote nothing. But instead, he decided to do something. So, for example, questions 3 and 4 ask Aaron to graph each function. So he graphed a smiley face and a frowny face. Question 5 says, you put $2,000 into an account earning 4% interest compounded continuously. Find the amount at the end of 8 years. And Aaron wrote, not enough. Question 14 asks Aaron to use the properties of logarithms to evaluate log 5 plus log 10 plus log 2. So Aaron's drawing this kind of angry-looking guy who's yelling, get off my properties! You know, if this were my student, he'd be getting an A+, no question. But there's not even any comments. There's just like a simple red mark. Well, it's not red on the photocopy, but just a simple mark through every problem. His total score for this test is a 0. But on the back, I think Aaron's real coup d'etat is his answer to questions 18, 19, and 20. Question 19, for example, says 4e to the power of 2x equals 14. Aaron didn't quite know how to answer that one, but he did know how to write this series of rhymed couplets, which say, my name is Aaron, I'm in Algebra 2, I sit in class for an hour and nothing I do. What Kyler is talking about, I guess I'll never know, but it's stuff I should have learned a long time ago. But I just sat in his room watching the time pass, and all I would do is sit on my A-S blank, that's how he wrote it. I guess he didn't want to get in trouble. My hope of passing is no hope at all. I just stare at the board and watch my grade fall. Maybe someday my grade will go higher. But who am I kidding? I'm only a liar. This algebra year in June will soon stop. And that means my grade can no longer drop. Thanks so much, you guys. Thanks for coming out.
Famous enough so the kid who wrote the original finds it.